Greetings all, and welcome to another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Dan Stoltz. I'll be your host today. You can reach me on my blog at itproguru.com or on Twitter at itproguru. My email is itproguru@microsoft.com. You can reach me there as well. Today, we're continuing our Data in the Cloud multi-part series as we talk about considerations for choosing SQL Server on a VM or SQL Azure Database. Make sure you stick around to the end of the show where we'll share some great tips on how to continue learning and a program that you may qualify for to gain access to free Microsoft software and cloud services. Today we're joined by Scott Klein. Welcome, Scott. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So let's start off with, as we look at the differences between SQL Server on a VM and SQL Azure Database, I guess I just want to highlight that as part of this entire series, we've gone into, or we're going to go into, a lot of detail about the individual differences between the platform. But there's, you know, this is such a monster part of the cloud services that I really wanted to spend some quality time together, really discussing the differences and understanding why one would choose one over the other. So let's start off with kind of drilling into what is SQL DB, Azure SQL DB.
So Azure SQL Database is really SQL Server as a service. So we basically said, all right, we're going to take SQL Server and offer it up as a service, so our platform as a service. And essentially, it's kind of a paradigm shift in that we're just offering up the SQL Server as a service. So it takes away all the hardware, the physical infrastructure of SQL Server.
Okay, and so how does it differ from running SQL Server as in a virtual machine? Because doesn't running SQL Server in a virtual machine do the exact same thing?
So that's a good question. So the major differences between Azure SQL Database and SQL Server in an Azure VM is that in Azure SQL Database, like I said, it's just SQL Server as a service. And so we remove the physical nature of, you don't have to worry about the physical machine. With SQL Server in an Azure VM or in any virtualization, you're still responsible for the VM. So you're still up to, you know, there's patching, the maintenance, the licensing if you're uploading your own VM. So in Azure, if you're running SQL Server in an Azure VM, you're still responsible for the VM. So that's infrastructure as a service. Mm-hmm. So you have to, that's your VM. So you're still doing the patching and the maintenance. You're still doing the backups. You're still doing a lot of the IT pro side of SQL Server, right? Where in Azure SQL Database, there's no machine for you to worry about, right? There's a database, and you get to do the logical administration, which is create a database, code, create users and groups and logins, and do the coding side. So it's physical administration versus logical administration. With Azure in a VM, with SQL in a VM, you own that machine. So you're managing the virtual machine just like you would on premises, right? You own that machine. You're logging into that machine. You're still in, you're patching the OS. You're making sure that the machine, the VM, is still running, things like that. With Azure SQL Database, you don't have to worry about the physical part of SQL Server, right? Yes, it is running on a machine. You don't have to log into that machine. You don't have to patch the OS. You don't have to make sure that the OS is up to date, right? You're just making, there's your database, and you code against that database. Hopefully that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, great. So now I understand also that there's some, functional differences between the two. What I mean by that is, so as an example, let's just look at it from a feature standpoint first. Yep. I understand there's a fair number of features that are not available in SQL Server running in a VM. That are running in SQL Azure Database that are available, broker services, some of the high availability services, whatever. Yeah. And there's other mechanisms in SQL Database that will allow you to do some of those things in a different way. But can you highlight maybe some of the differences between those from a functionality standpoint?
Sure, and it's an interesting question that you brought this up, because just recently they announced the new premium, or the new preview, they call it Next Gen of Azure SQL Database. They went into preview, and what it does, it really brings Azure SQL Database almost to parity with SQL Server, right? So in other words, there's still things like, and these are the things you're talking about, right? So things like Service Broker, things like full text search, are not there yet, but they're coming. Like they've said, yeah, full text search is coming. So there, one of the biggest differences is that, so pretty soon, let me just say this, pretty soon there's not going to be much of a reason not to use Azure SQL Database. I think one of the big reasons now is that, you know, with SQL in a VM, you're not limited to database size essentially, right? You can attach multiple disks to that VM, and so your database can grow as big as you want it to. In Azure SQL Database right now, your biggest database is 500 gig. That's your biggest database. And that brings into a whole other discussion of, well, you know, if I've got a bigger database, what can I do? Well, you know, so that brings in the bigger discussion of, okay, how do I do sharding and things like that? And, you know, how do I partition that database across, instead of one massive database, maybe break that database up into multiple independent nodes, all right? So instead of having 1,000 users against one database, you have 1,000 users against multiple databases. So That's a whole other topic, but I think that's going to be really quick. That's going to be one of the only limitations, right? Because you know, right now in preview, they just said, you know, here it's fairly on, you know, on par with SQL Server, but things like you said, Service Broker, full text search is coming. So some of these other things aren't there yet, but for the most part, it's pretty close now.
Okay, so let's drill down a little bit on the performance of the disk. So I know with running SQL Server in a virtual machine, I have some cool technologies with premium disk to be able to put that on SSD, which is going to give me just incredible performance. And correct me if I'm wrong, but that option to run strictly on SSD in Azure SQL DB is not really there. There's other things that you have to do, like the sharding that you mentioned before, to give you that big performance boost that you need. Is that correct?
Yeah, fairly accurate. So in SQL in a VM, there's multiple tiers, right? There's the A series and then the D series and now the G series, which they've announced. And with the D series and G series, you get locally attached SSD to get that performance, right? And you know, massive amounts of memory and disk space. You know, things like if I want to run, you know, the in-memory OLTP type of technology in a VM, then I've got enough memory and CPU to do that. But all you're getting is you're saying, okay, here's how much memory and CPU I want on that virtual machine, and then you can just attach additional disk. With Azure SQL Database, it's a little different because we're not you're not picking a t-shirt size, you're picking what we call a service tier. So, you know, basic, standard, or premium. And this gets into a deeper discussion of, okay, what do these mean? Because you're basically saying how much performance I need. So performance isn't just about scaling your database out. You know, performance, there's the scale up and scale out type of performance, right? Scale up means I'm going to throw more memory and CPU at it. That's what you do from the VM size, right? Scale out says, okay, I'm going to take my database and partition that across, you know, multiple databases, right? And that's, again, a much deeper in another discussion. With Azure SQL Database, you can actually do both, right? Because you can say, all right, I want to go from a, you know, a standard S1 to a premium P2, which says, all right, I'm going to go and it's not documented really how much memory and CPU you get with each tier, but it's basically what we call the database throughput units. You know, really how much resources are dedicated to you for your database. So you can scale up that way by going and saying, all right, I want to go from an S1 to a P2, for example. But then you can also scale out by saying, all right, now I want to do that what we call sharding, right? Partition that database out. So I think that's one of the extra benefits of Azure SQL Database is because I can scale up as well as scale out, right? So I can move easily between the different service tiers, basic, standard, or premium, and the different levels within each one, as well as say, okay, now I'm going to partition my database. So just because we have a limit of 500 gig doesn't mean I can't use Azure SQL Database.
Right. So whenever I'm dealing with, you know, I've got, say I've got a database on premises that I want to migrate to Azure, And I want to make the decision. I want to figure out what's going to play in the decision making on whether I should go with a SQL database or you know, loading that into a virtual machine on Azure. What are some of the considerations I need to think about?
Well, I think that line for me personally, I think that line just got a lot fuzzier because of now almost the parity, right? But I think it really boils down to is how much control you want, if that makes sense. How much control you really want over your environment. With SQL in a VM, you're basically saying, all right, I want a little more control over the environment. So I want to control the OS, not only SQL Server, but I want to control the OS and more of the environment. I want to be able to say, all right, you know, be able to pick a different T-shirt size type of thing. As well as, you know, I need full-blown functionality. And another one might be, well, I need also, like you said, Service Broker, or I need full-text search right now, or I need to be able to run some of our BI components, like reporting services or analysis services, things like that, which we don't have as far as a PaaS offering. So the decision is going to be, what do I need? If I want more control and need some of the features, I'm going to go that. It's, you know, if I want just a quick migration as well, right? Take my database because it's full SQL Server parity. So take my database, move that to Azure VM, done very quickly. I'll choose that. If I don't care about that, and if I don't need the BI capabilities right now my database will fit within 500 gig, or I want to do the scale out scenarios, then I'm going to look at Azure SQL Database.
All right,
maybe a little more work, but you know, I get the extra benefits.
So it sounds like from a scalability standpoint, and from what I understand, also from a cost standpoint, SQL Database is actually better. But from a physical raw size of the database now, and maybe the least amount of work for actually deploying that, on a single platform, where if you've already got it on premises, moving it to Azure Virtual Machine is, right click on it in SQL Server or Enterprise Manager and, you know, move to Azure. It's super simple. And it sounds like there's a little bit more work to it in the SQL database, or is that now that port, that migration just as easy in SQL Azure DB?
And that's what I'm saying. I think that line is very blurred now, because I just did a video on Channel 9 with Tony Petrosian. He owns kind of the Azure SQL Database, one of the major PMs in Azure SQL Database. And he did this demo on my show where he had took the AdventureWorks 2012 database and migrated it to an existing an existing Azure SQL Database, or ran through the ran through the migration wizard to a current Azure SQL Database. And then did the same process to one of the new preview databases. And the list of errors from the previous one was one everybody's seen, right? There's probably hundreds and hundreds of errors. Bang, right? And in the new one, only four errors. And it's because there were full-text search errors. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it was a phenomenal demo, because it showed that this line now becomes much less blurred, because there's really almost not a reason, if I don't have full text search, why should I not use Azure SQL Database, right? So the migration becomes much easier.
Yep.
So I think for me, it boils down to how much control I want over the environment. Or do I need Service Broker, full text search, some of those things? I think the decision is going to be much, much, I don't want to say easier, almost much harder now. but in a good way, because it's like, why shouldn't I be using Azure SQL Database because of the benefits now? What's going to make that decision a little harder now is, okay, well, if my database is bigger than 500 gig and I don't want to go through the whole partitioning scheme, yep, I'm going to go to do SQL in a VM first, and then just to get it there, right? So I think that the decisions for which one I go to are a lot less.
So we have this great tool that you mentioned, this migration wizard that's available on the Azure website under the tools, add-ons and downloads, the tools. An awesome utility to actually do that migration for us.
Yep.
Whenever we're talking about, if we actually go through the process of migrating a database, it's not going to destroy the database that we have now. It's going to, like, I can do a test run, so to speak, run that wizard against the database, put it up in Azure. You know, I can go, you know, have my developers hit it, bang on it, test it. Maybe set up my own little cloud that you know that gives me the capability of doing that full test. Is all of that, you know, good? Can I do all of that stuff now?
Oh, absolutely. So best practice states, yeah, let me back up my database before I do anything with it. But absolutely, right. The process of migrating doesn't even touch your database. Well, let me rephrase that. It does touch your database, but you know doesn't modify your database in any way. It just goes through and says, you know, currently it says, all right, here's all the features in your database and what's supported and what's not. And okay, great, let's migrate it. So wonderful tools out there. There's the ones you mentioned on MSDN. There's actually an awesome one out on CodePlex, written by a Microsoft employee that you know, walks you through, kind of almost does the same thing. So there's some great migration tools, but the process is very simple. If I want to just know what's going on and what will happen if I try to migrate, perfect tools, and you don't have to worry about it messing up your database.
And whenever I go through that process, there's other things that inevitably I have to deal with as an application owner, like you know, maybe I'm using SQL authentication as an example. What happens to that type of data that's not specifically tied to the database but rather tied to the security of the database?
Oh, you know what, that's a good question too, because that would be another reason why you may not be able to go to Azure SQL Database right now, is because it doesn't support Windows authentication. All right, just SQL authentication. So if you need that authentication, now I know they're working on that. Don't know when that's coming, but I know they're working on it. So if you need that Windows authentication, then Azure SQL Database isn't going to work. You'll have to throw that in an Azure in a VM.
Okay, but if I do have SQL users, it will port those over too?
And
to the SQL Database? Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
And with the writes and all of that stuff?
Yeah, everything. So it just basically just does a migration. It's pretty very nice.
Do I have to do an entire server, or can I do an individual database on a server?
You can do an individual database. In fact, I don't think you can't say migrate entire server to, right? It's on a per database basis, right?
Okay, so, awesome.
Write mouse click database, and there's two options, you know, write mouse click database, go to tasks and migrate database to Azure SQL Database, or migrate to Azure VM, right?
Yeah, and whenever it does that, it can. I understand that I can already have the storage account. I can already have all the server set up and the system set up, and it'll migrate to what I've already set up. Or I can just have the wizard do it for me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we'll have to think about that. I think you have to have
the
storage account already set up,
yep.
But you don't have to go into Azure SQL Database or into the VM and create the database for you, because part of that migration process will go create the database for you, mm-hmm. And then migrate everything, migrate all the objects. Right.
So whenever it goes out and does that, if I don't already have, if I want to do the virtual machine, does it use like a virtual machine that's already in the gallery for that, or is it imaging my virtual machine?
So the best way to do it, you can do several things. The best way to do it is go spin up a VM from the gallery. So SQL Server is already running in it, and then just migrate the database. So that's probably the best thing. You could also, if you want to, again, there's a plethora of options. So you can either back up your database to disk and then RDP into the VM and copy the backup up there and then restore there. That's one way to do it. I have not gone through the process, and I'm going to admit here, I cannot remember if you migrate, if it actually spins a VM up for you, if you don't have one. I want to say it does, but I honestly can't remember.
We'll put that in the notes on the video. No big deal. My understanding is it can do that as well. It can create machine for you.
I think it does, and so it just says what VM you want to go through and pick. It just spins one up from the gallery. Now the other option you have too is say, all right, well, I'm just going to take this VM, sysprep it, and upload the entire VM into Azure as well, right? So you can do that.
Okay. So I can take my entire image of my server if I wanted to do that and put that image up.
From a VM perspective, that's correct. Not from if you're going to Azure SQL Database, you can't do that.
But right. So and maybe this is going to be on the scope of the SQL Database versus the SQL Server in a VM, but let's say that I wanted to have both of them for different databases, and I have, you know, linked databases and stuff like that. There's no issues with, you know, working with on-premises databases, working with Azure VM databases that are running SQL Server, Azure SQL DB. All of that stuff can still work together through linked databases and VPNs and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And what's really nice is I can use my SQL Server Management Studio on-prem, connect to my Azure SQL database, and connect to my SQL Server in a VM and have everything right there, right? Very nice.
Nice.
From a linked server perspective, yeah. So I think you can link Azure SQL database, specific databases from on-prem SQL Server Management Studio, but not an entire server. But yeah, that's really nice. There's just the ability to say, all right, I've got one Management Studio and let me connect to all my SQL resources.
Great. So whenever I do that, and I have all of this kind of magic happening, it seems to me like there are some differences in the technology that's being deployed. So what does that mean for the DBA? What does that mean for, you know, the IT pro that's managing the infrastructure? Can you kind of draw the lines and look at the comparisons for those different roles?
Yeah, we did this. It's a great question, because a couple years ago when we were really focusing on, because when we did this, when Azure SQL Database was at the time was called SQL Azure, was being promoted really heavy. A lot of the DBAs panicked because they looked at SQL Azure and went, "Holy cow, my job! You know, I'm out of a job."
Yeah, and, I remember those days, but that was far from the truth.
Well, it is far from the truth. So we did a couple years ago. We did this whole, series. You know, we did a pre-con at Tech Ed. We did, sessions at other events around, Azure SQL Database or SQL Azure for the DBA. And just to point out that, it's, like I said earlier, it's a paradigm shift. Just because we're moving to the cloud doesn't mean your job's done. It's just figuring out how you do the tasks that you do on premises right now. How do those translate to the cloud? So if you're, if you're migrating your database to a VM, nothing changes, right? You're still responsible for the VM itself, so for the OS and everything around that. You still, need to do backups of your database. So really, really nothing changes for that perspective. But if you're doing SQL Server, or Azure SQL Database, it just changes a little bit. You just have to think, like, now how do I do backups? I don't have access to the disks anymore, so how and where do I do backups? How frequently do backups? And other roles around that, right? I'm still doing troubleshooting. I'm still trying to figure out, the performance issues and things like that. So it's just a paradigm shift of how your role translates into the cloud.
Okay, so all the tasks are still there. They're still being performed largely by the same people, with a couple exceptions, and that is on the SQL Azure DB database. The infrastructure layer is managed by somebody else, right?
Correct.
Microsoft is your, call it your host provider, your cloud provider, that's managing the infrastructure for you. All you got to do is the database stuff. So probably a lighter load there for the IT administrator, pretty much the same load for the database administrator. But that load is different. And, I kind of want to drill down on that point a little bit because, I've heard so many people, say that they don't want to embrace the cloud and they want to kind of stand in the way of cloud adoption because they see it as a threat to their livelihood. And in reality, the way I see it and the way that as I talk to customers, the way I see it is by them not engaging and by them not learning these technologies, that in itself is threatening their livelihood. So they're kind of looking at it backwards. So as an example, let's take the IT administrator as an example. If he stands in the way of a business unit deploying a database or any technology to Azure, well, if the business needs that, if the business wants that, they're going to go around him. Now, IT guys, I know I'm one, we care about control. So one of the things that, what's going to happen is we're going to completely lose control because now the business unit is going to go behind their back and they're going to stand it up and they're not going to have any access or any control on it whatsoever. Not only that, they're now not learning how to manage that and how to integrate that with the on-premises environment. So they're losing out on some incredible opportunities. So I'll have people, I've had people tell me, well, my business units aren't smart enough to go to the cloud if I don't lead them that way. And, you know, I literally had somebody say that to me, and within a month, that same person came back to me and said, I was wrong. I said, what do you mean you were wrong? He reminded me about the conversation that we had had a month earlier, and a partner had come in and pitched a solution to the business unit, and they wanted to deploy it. So now he was being basically forced into you know, this scenario where he's right, you know, getting involved with cloud services. So, you know, it's great that you mentioned that, because people need to kind of understand that you're doing it for your company, but you're doing it for yourself too. And, you know, getting in the way or not moving forward on these technologies, you know, is not going to slow the pace of adoption. It's just going to put you in a worse position when it comes to, you know, living your life and growing with the community.
It's that whole Star Trek, you know, Data or the Borg, right? Resistance is futile type of yeah, comment, but in a really good way, because like you say, it's the IT pro. There's still some, you know. Let me just say it this way, because I think a lot of the the image people have around moving to the cloud is, and around the database, is I'm either going to the VM, or I'm either going to Azure SQL Database. You know, it's one or the other, and that's not necessarily true, right? Because right now we have no BI story in as a platform as a service. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to the cloud, you still need to spin up a VM to get your BI capabilities. So your IT pro guy and DBA guy, you're still very well needed, right? You still have a job, and it's just, look, learn how to do this now in the cloud, because that's where things are going. But, you know, at the same time, we're not asking people to get rid of what they have on premises now anyway. That stuff's not going away for a long, 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 long time, right? It's how we can now start leveraging some of these cloud services. And if you want to embrace the cloud, go for it. So it's a very good point. There's, from a DBA perspective, those guys are still very well needed. And from the IT pro side, managed machines, look, you're still going to be around for a long time as well. So, you know, quit panicking.
As long as you keep your skills up to date, you'll be around for a while.
Well, exactly, right? You know, I think that's going to be, like you say, I think that's going to be a nice, you know, on you know, at some point in the next 12, 18, 24 months, you see, you know, cloud, whether it's, you know, Microsoft or Amazon or whatever, when you see cloud on the resume, man, that's going to be worth something.
Yeah, it actually already is. Yeah. And, you know, from my own standpoint of looking at the market and talking to people, some of the most sought after positions and some of the highest paid positions right now are cloud architects, cloud developers, cloud, you know, people that understand the you know, the issues around integrating cloud with on-premises, yep, and public and private cloud. So it's
more
being
along
already.
More along the architect side, right? Because they understand. Because I'm a developer, I just move into the cloud is pretty easy. But how do I? The architect is the. How do I understand the entire overall environment?
Yeah, right. and those are big money positions too. But even for the SQL DBA, where there's so many additional technologies that are database related technologies that they can now, you know, put their hand in and say, hey, I can help with this, you know. When we talk about machine learning, we talk about big data, you know, and the DBA's responsibility can be so much more than it has been in the past. And, you know, the way I look at it is this, as you're able to provide more value to your company, your value to the organization goes up, right? As your value goes up, theoretically, your pay could go up. Certainly, your ability to have longevity increases as well. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it.
Well, and we also have to keep in mind that it's not just about getting there. Okay, yes, I can, you know, migrate. Yeah, big deal, getting there. It's all about now, like we talked about, the whole scalability and performance. Just because I can get my database there doesn't mean it's going to perform the same way that it does on-premises. So Mr. DBA, Mr. IT Pro guy, now step in and let's figure out, you know, we would like it to. We'd absolutely like it to perform the same way it does on-premises. You can hide a lot of bad code, you know, on-premises by throwing more memory and CPU at it. But just because and it's not just a Microsoft, you know, whether it's Microsoft or Amazon or Google or whatever platform, just because I'm going to the cloud doesn't mean it's going to perform the same way. So, you know, once we get there, now we start doing the fine, you know, a lot of your responsibilities now doing that fine tuning to make sure I get just as good or better performance in the cloud. And what does that mean, right? So that means rewriting queries or, you know, doing looking at the best practices of running my SQL Server in an Azure VM, and what steps I need to do there to get it to perform just as good, and, you know, maybe attaching additional disks and doing disk striping, or, you know, what are those best practices? So there's a lot to do, just, you know, not beyond, you know, just moving my database.
So speaking of performance, are there big differences in performances between the two platforms, or can I get pretty much the same performance out of either platform?
Well, that's a good question. So the question is, Azure SQL Database versus performance versus SQL Server and the VM performance. Can I get about the same as what you're asking?
Correct. Yep.
Yes, you should be able to get a comparable performance out of both platforms, right? It's just a matter of applying the best practices and principles once you get your database up there.
Right. All right. When I move to Azure SQL Database, are there changes that I need to make to an application, or is that simply a database connector that I'm changing to a different database connector?
So essentially, you're just changing your connection string, right?
Okay.
Instead of going from on-premises to, you know, now the cloud. There might be some other nuances, like, are there any third-party controls that now don't work in a cloud environment? Like, and I can't off the top of my head think of. Early on, there was things like some of these PDF type, control. They would create PDFs on the fly. Those wouldn't work. But I think those are getting much better. So it's a matter of just putting it up there, and you can actually run it through the emulator on premises now to see if it works or not. So fairly much, it's getting much easier, much better. So for the most, it's almost as simple as changing your connection string to point to the new database. But change it, test it, and then see what happens. But for the most part, yeah, it's deploy and go.
Okay, great. So whenever we look at integrating with or adjusting applications, whenever I'm building an application with a SQL backend, are there other considerations that I need to consider? And I'm really talking to developers now. So as a developer, are there things that I need to consider or things that I need to learn? Not necessarily because I have to do them to move to the cloud or to use a different platform, but to leverage other capabilities of the cloud platform provides that I might not be aware of now.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good question, because beyond Azure SQL Database, I think there's things like, okay, what other services do we have up there that we can take advantage of, right? Azure Storage, Azure Document DB, some of these other services we have up there. It's not a black box, but okay, what other services up there can I take advantage of to actually make my application better, right? Things like that. So you can move your application, but I think there's now the ability to say, all right, how do I improve my application? How do I enhance my application by knowing what other services are up there and maybe utilize those?
So I think I want to change directions a little bit now, and we'll come back in a few minutes and kind of talk to people about how they can continue their education and continue on that thought process of getting smart about the technologies. But before we do that, I want to talk about some specific use cases or scenarios. So let's talk about startup businesses. Is there a difference if I'm a startup, whether I go one or the other, or are both of these options great for startups? Assuming that they're starting with zero, what are your thoughts to how this technology is leverageable for startups?
Yeah, so that's another great question, because Microsoft was doing this kind of incubation type of project for startups down downtown Seattle. They would bring a bunch of people that had some ideas and kind of incubate them through their startup process. And one of the things was, hey, let's push Azure, right? And it completely makes sense because, you know, why wouldn't I think about Azure if I'm starting from the ground up, mm-hmm. right? So instead of buying this, to me, it just completely makes sense. Instead of, you know, buying all this hardware, you know, we have a bunch of programs like BizSpark and things like that that, you know, that basically, you know, give you a lot of free Azure, free resources. Why would you not consider using Azure for as inexpensive as it is, as easy as it is to use? Every startup should be looking at this. And now, and even, you know, those that have existing applications, it's, we've got a lot of people going, wow, this makes sense. So, you know, how easy it is to move my application. So it's not just startups. It's not just, it's, you know, it really spans the gamut. We really try to make it easy for people to go, whether you're a startup or an enterprise, how easy it is to get to Azure, both from the database, from the application, and the entire thing.
Yeah, on that same line of thought, I know we, you know, it's not really the subject of this conversation, but since we're on the topic of startup, I also want to highlight that even if they have a non-SQL kind of database platform that they're leveraging, if they do already, if these startups already do have something, or other companies, you know, Azure can be a great platform for that as well. It's not just a SQL platform. It's a, you know, it's across the board.
Yeah, very good point. Very good point. Yep.
Now, the next thing that I want to look at is, you know, it seems like everybody and their brother is trying to jump on this database bandwagon, and I totally get it. You know, I've spent, you know, tons of capital on order of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a pop for a server, for a high-end database server, and, you know, they're not cheap. And then when you get into the mirroring and stuff like that, oh my God, you know, and you just, it gets so expensive. And I know from a small business standpoint, you know, capital is king, right? You just, you got to stay away from the capital wherever possible. But let me switch gears a little bit again and kind of talk about, you know, everybody's doing this, so what's the difference? I mean, what's the difference between, you know, running SQL Server on Azure or running SQL Server on Amazon? You know, are they all the same service? It's all Microsoft SQL Server, right? Or are there really differences between the platforms?
I think there's some differences between the platforms, and I'm gonna be very honest, transparent. I'm not a guru at Amazon or Google or any of the other ones. If you're running SQL Server, I think the major differences are things like, I haven't looked at Amazon for a while. So sure, yeah, I can go up to, you know, spin up an S3 database and things like that. I think it's going to real boil down to cost is a big one. Scalability, performance is another one. So does Amazon, you know, and I haven't looked in a while, but does Amazon have a SQL, an Azure SQL database type of solution, or is it more VMs like our VM type of, our VM solution? So you really have to look at, you know, the overall data platform, right? So cost. So I know, you know, one of the things that I really love about Azure is the ability to say, all right, I've got, I can run it in a platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, and those work very well together, as well as, hey, look, we have these other data offerings like DocumentDB and Azure Storage. And, you know, that as a DBA, I'm going to start looking at some of these because it might make sense for me to use these. So I think it's, you know, SQL Server, it's, like you said, it's SQL Server, and whether you're running in SQL Server in an Azure VM versus, you know, Amazon, it's the same. But what you have to look at is now the details of scalability, performance, pricing, other services that complement those. And that's where I think Azure really shines.
Yeah, and I think a big differentiator is the SQL database, the Azure SQL database. Because on the AWS side, they're not a platform as a service company where we are, right? Yeah. So, you know, we've been doing this this you know, platform and offering these services for a very long time. I understand Amazon is about to get into the game, but I guess I wouldn't call it a, you know, a really a competitor to a competition to Azure SQL Database, because Azure SQL Database just kind of blows everything away. From a performance standpoint, but also from a scalability standpoint, because you know we have the capability of being able to scan multiple data sets and stuff. So through sharding and stuff like that, we can do multiple writes. So you can spread that load out so wide that you can support some really big workloads that you just can't get out of any other platform.
So with all the enhancements and all the new announcements that you just made around preview for Azure SQL Database. Like I said earlier, that line is now so blurred. It's how can you not seriously consider Azure SQL Database, right?
Yep.
And I think any other competitor that wants to get into this market, I think is now fighting an uphill battle.
Just to wrap things up, Scott, I really appreciate your help with all this. At the beginning of the of the session, I talked about some free resources, so I want to enlighten our users about that. And you had mentioned this program, this BizSpark program, so I want to kind of give people a little bit more information on that. But before I do that, where do we get more information about cloud technologies? Well, first and foremost is this series. This is one episode of a multi-part series, and that's available at itproguru.com/clouddata. I've also got, you can also get, SMART on Microsoft Virtual Academy. Microsoft Virtual Academy is available at aka.ms/clouddatamva. So you can go out and learn about other cloud technologies or any technology that's built on, any of the Microsoft technologies. It literally is an online university for Microsoft and Microsoft technologies. But it doesn't just cover Microsoft technology. So as an example, if you're a VMware administrator, you can learn about virtualization and how Hyper-V and VMM and all of that stuff fits together. Learn about the differences between AWS and Azure. And there's a lot of cross-platform technologies out there. How to deploy Linux in a virtual machine. How to do Linux websites, and all of that stuff is all built into the MVA program.
Yeah.
And second, to go a little bit deeper on the free services and free software that you talked about, literally tens of thousands of dollars worth of free software and Azure services. I've actually set aside 1,000 codes for those that qualify to leverage the program.
Yep. Okay.
So if you have or know someone who has a startup business or want to start your own business programming or otherwise developing the cloud, people can sign up at aka.ms/clouddatafree. That's aka.ms/clouddatafree. And I'll have links to all of this in the accompanying blog post as well. You do not need to have a business right now. If you want to go out and create your own business, you can do that as well. A lot of people, even IT pros that I've talked to, have gone out and started, because we have the technical expertise to be able to do this. We just got to ramp up a little bit on the programming side to be able to create our own business where we're writing applications. We're doing Internet of Thing devices. We have a great idea for a device or whatever. Any of these businesses are gonna qualify for this. All they really need is a business name and a valid URL for their website, a web page that talks about their business or their product. If your product is something that is sensitive and you don't want to put that out there yet, fine. Just give us something that you are willing to put out there about the technology in which you're going to or the way in which you're going to be cloud development, cloud application development, cloud device development, whatever. It doesn't have to be super detailed. Again, aka.ms/clouddatafree to get access to that those BizSpark benefits. Whenever people want to actually go deploy these workloads or actually start playing with this, or after they develop their BizSpark account and start using these free resources, and by the way, I don't think I mentioned the free resources. It's literally like an MSDN subscription. So it's all the stuff that comes with MSDN, all the stuff that comes with what used to be a TechNet subscription, plus I think it's $150, something like that, a month of Azure for an entire 3 years. So it's a pretty awesome program. But I have another program. It's available at buildyourbiz.org. Buildyourbiz.org gives people step-by-step instructions on how to deploy some of these technologies in Windows Azure. So you can, you know, they can get up and running in their infrastructure for their new business, build out their website, build out their first couple servers, get the networking working between the two, and set up media services. Whatever they wanted to do for their business, they can do that. So, you know, finally, you know, from learning about the technology standpoint, it is so important for us to keep learning about these cloud technologies. So I would strongly encourage everybody to watch the rest of the videos on this cloud data series, itprogroover.com/clouddata. And I'll have other resources or other links on each one of those posts as well. And then beyond that, you know, keep looking for, you know, like Microsoft Tech Ed, which is now called Ignite. Channel 9, there's always a bunch of stuff up on Channel 9 for learning about cloud services. And do you have any other resources that you think we should point our audience to?
I think you've hit them most. I was going to mention the NBA. NBA is great. Channel 9, there's three great Channel 9 is an awesome place. And they're actually starting to put some of these videos out on YouTube. So if you want to go to YouTube, you can go to and look for these videos. But Channel 9 is a great resource. NBA is a great resource. There's a show on Channel 9 called Cloud Cover that talks everything about Azure. There's a show called Data Exposed that covers specifically data in Azure, so SQL Server, Azure SQL Database, you know, and all our other cloud data technologies. And then Scott Hanselman has Azure Friday, where he does little snippets once a week. So there's great content out there. I think that what's sad to hear is that you know, everybody that has, there are so many people that have MSDN subscriptions that don't know to get Azure for free.
I know.
We have got to get that word out, because it's, how can you beat $150 of free Azure a month, right? So there are some great resources out there. You mentioned them both, right? MVA, Channel 9, this series. So, man, please use that stuff. And even the other one I wanted to mention really quick was even on Azure.com, right? Yep. Go to Azure.com. There are some great introductory tutorials on every single service, right? It doesn't go very deep, but great. If you want to get started, Azure.com, documentation, bam, there it is. Tutorials on almost every single technology there, right?
And a lot of those have step-by-step, too. Like, you can go into Azure Backup, as an example, literally gives you step-by-step on how to go execute those. So it's an awesome. So, great industry. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today. And until the next time, we'll see you then.
All right, thanks much.